As you probably know, this past Tuesday marked 50 years since the assassination of Robert Kennedy. People have wondered what would have happened had he survived and become president. Possibly not as many soldiers killed in Vietnam. No Watergate. And perhaps the most intriguing of all, where would we be now with race relations? Bobby was seen as someone who was able to bond people of differences together. As we are reminded of that day 50 years ago and those horrible images of the 42-year-old stretched out on a kitchen floor in the Ambassador Hotel, and we think what might have been, it's hard not to groan. In the 1950s and 60s, there was a newspaper columnist in Oklahoma named Molly Shepherd. Molly was Native American, Northern Cheyenne. And she wrote about her life and the life of the Native Americans in her community. English was her second language, so her columns were more colloquial than grammatically correct. But she had such a way with language and with words that her writings often seemed like poetry. She'd write about tribal customs, songs, funerals, all kinds of things. They were often very touching, sometimes funny, educational, and just plain real. The column that was published on November 27, 1963, was her shortest column of all. It was written right after the assassination of John Kennedy, Bobby's brother. Molly wrote, "Molly has nothing to write today. Molly has no words today. Molly goes through the house all day saying, oh." We groan when we see the national and global news, when we learn that almost 5,000 people in Puerto Rico died in Hurricane Maria and its aftermath. When we see more and more children shot and killed in schools, when we read about the rise of anti-Semitism and white supremacists, when we see frightened children ripped away from their parents on the borders, when we hear that suicide rates continue to climb in almost every state in our country, when we see our struggles with gun violence, poverty, health care, and mental illness, we groan. And that doesn't even include our personal challenges, the medical report that reveals the cancer has returned. The child who just won't listen and gets into more and more trouble. The bills stacking up, growing, making us greater in debt. We groan. Echoing the Apostle Paul's words, but adding his own twist, Mark Twain once wrote, "O death, where is thy sting? It has none, but life has." Life has. Those of us from Asbury who went to our Methodist South Georgia annual conference this past week got stung, and we left there groaning. Whenever issues involving LGBT people are raised at annual conferences in South Georgia, as they were this year, you see a very ugly side of humanity. You see intolerance. An ignorance that is rather astounding for the 21st century. You try to remind yourself that many of these people have never experienced life outside of their little town, that they have been inundated with false messages and poor theology for much of their lives. But it still stings. Although our bishop smiled and tried to make the best of a bad situation, he had to be groaning inside too. I mean, you can't be in the middle of that kind of narrow-mindedness and tribalism without having a sick feeling in your stomach. Our church members who attended the conference started heading back to Savannah, stunned and in shock that people could act that way at a Christian conference. I remained there a little longer, making sure there weren't any more casualties, making sure none of our folks were wounded and left behind. The conference was held on Jekyll Island. And as I got in my car to head back home, I remembered that I had packed a bathing suit just in case there was time to go swimming. And so only 400 yards away from the conference center was a great spot for beach lovers. And so as I drove away, I pulled over to the beach, threw on my bathing suit, and Shamu strolled to the shoreline and dove into the water. I was only at the beach for about 45 minutes, but by the time I got out of the water and started home, the annual conference was a faint memory. I couldn't believe it. Somehow, my mind and body was totally refreshed. I no longer carried the weight of what happened. It was really remarkable, this transformation for me. I wondered what did it, what helped me. Was it the sun shining down on me? Was it the salt in the water? The smell of the marsh? The buoyancy of my body in the water? I suspect it was all of those things. I also suspect that subconsciously I experienced God in a special way, that I experienced God carrying me. That as I experienced the incredible beauty of God's amazing world surrounding me and flowing all around me, as I experienced my body being lifted up and floating in the ocean, I wonder if I subconsciously came to an understanding that God was carrying me in all of life's situations, disappointments, and challenges. And now, renewed and refreshed, I was ready to move forward with a different, positive attitude and spirit. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 13. We're going to read it together, and we'll also use the responsive music. It's in the back of the hymnal on page 746. 746. Ray, play through that tune, and then we'll sing the response.
Be still, my God.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?
Be still, my soul.
Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side.
We just read the words of someone who was groaning over 1,000 years ago. The writer of Psalm 13 is in great pain and agony. How long, O Lord? How long will I suffer? Oh! How long will you hide your face from me? Oh! How long will this continue? The psalmist reminds us that it's important to groan. It's important to express our feelings. It's important to know that it's okay not to be okay. And the psalmist reminds us that we can even take it a step further. We can be angry, even angry at God. Remember, one of my favorite sayings is, the atheist may complain, but the believer can protest. The believer can shout out, why? Because there is something or someone to cry out to, some higher power. Our protest is an affirmation of faith. Why? So never feel bad or guilty about expressing your feelings to God. But when we read the psalm together, did you notice what happened near the end of it? Did you notice that the psalmist's entire attitude and spirit changes? But I will trust in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because God has dealt bountifully with me. Wow, what happened? What ocean did he jump into? Well, we're not exactly sure what happened. But it's not unusual for this kind of attitude change at the end of these psalms that are laments. The psalmist is very upset at the beginning because something awful has happened, but then at the end, everything seems fine and dandy. Whatever the psalmist did, it was a good ocean to jump into. I hope you have discovered some good oceans to jump into when you experience things that make you groan. I hope you've discovered some good, practical, physical things to do, to see, to experience that lifts you up when you are down. Things that help cleanse you of the negativity and bitterness that can invade us and pervert our lives and personalities and hinder us from experiencing life in its fullness. It may be a trip to the beach, a swim in the ocean, maybe going fishing, or getting a massage. It may be working in a garden, or playing music, or dancing, or some other physical activity. Or maybe it's sitting down with a cup of coffee with a good friend and talking things over. That's a really good ocean to jump into. Church member Dr. Ken Hardigan has discovered that flying does it for him. That's one I don't recommend, by the way. I'm scared of heights. But it works for Ken. He learned to fly those small planes, and you can tell that it means the world to him. His eyes light up every time he talks about it. And I bet that it's easy for Ken to imagine being carried in God's arms as he coasts in the air. I have a very good imagination, so I'll imagine being carried in God's arms with my feet firmly on the ground. But we all need to find some physical, practical things to do that help us deal with stress, that help us shake off the negative things that try to latch onto us each and every day, things that remind us that God is love, and that God is with us, and that God is carrying us. Now let me go back and tell you about the ocean that the psalmists jumped into. Many biblical scholars believe that right before the psalmist had this change in attitude, right before his attitude adjustment, many scholars believe that a priest said to the psalmist something like, "The Lord has heard your prayer. The Lord has heard your petitions. The Lord has heard your cries." Something on that order. In other words, the psalmist was experiencing a communal worship experience. And within that context, the psalmist was reminded of God's presence and caring spirit. And so from this worship experience, the person is reminded of God's presence in the psalmist's life, and his faith is restored. As we now move into the summer months, as we go off on our vacations, I encourage you to stay connected, to continue making this place your main ocean to jump into. For this is the house of God, a God who understands our groanings and empathizes with us. As Jesus groaned when his friend Lazarus died, when Jesus groaned when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he groaned dying upon the cross. When we gather as a faith community, we remember that there is more to the story. That it doesn't end with groaning. We remember there is a resurrection, that out of this death came new life, and that the same thing can happen for us now in our daily lives. Born out of our groaning. The church reminds us that our groans are groans from labor pain. That although life is filled with difficulties and even tragedies, as people of faith, we know that our groans can become birth pangs. About to bring forth new life, new beginnings, new possibilities. That's the gospel story. That's the ocean we need to experience on a regular basis in order to deal with our sin-sick blues. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain.
But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again.
Join me. There is a balm in Gilead.
There is a balm in Gilead
to make the wounded whole.
To make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead
to heal the sin sick soul.
To heal the sin sick soul. When life gets so painful, and all I can do is groan, Shamu jumps in the ocean and learns he's not alone.
There is a balm in Gilead
to make the wounded whole.
To make the
to